This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special carpaccio for you, right?
Yes. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Happy New Year. When last we spoke, like not even 10 minutes ago, when last I spoke, I was talking about what a subject, you know it, you love it, speculating about wildcard weekend schedule. That's right. And maybe it's not always on your mind or even Sal's mind, although Sal likes to dabble in this area. Sal, I said job one with the schedule next weekend is to bury Carolina. Make them the new AFC South Invitational. It's now the NFC South Invitational Saturday afternoon game. Although what's different this year than most years is at least 3 West Coast teams will be traveling east to play. And the number one job here shouldn't be bury Carolina. If Carolina even wins that division, it should be, you know, fairness to whatever extent you can control that. And if the Chargers are going to, say, Foxborough, the Rams are going to Philadelphia, the San Francisco 49ers are going to Carolina or Tampa, I don't know, they got to be a little bit cognizant of the toll that that trip takes, I think.
Maybe. I think that's right. Now, it's one different time zone, but the Broncos came to Buffalo last year for a 1 o'clock game in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they probably would think about it. I think the bigger thing that matters this year, I would think, but maybe not, is where the Week 18 schedule falls, which is Carolina and all the NFC South teams. It's all NFC, I should say, right?
Saturday.
So maybe that would matter into how they want to place everything the following weekend. So you have this year, Panthers and Buccaneers on Saturday, Seahawks and 49ers on Saturday. So you're probably, well, I guess you could still put either of them on Saturday. I guess for me, it's more about Pittsburgh and Baltimore playing Monday night, so they won't give them a Saturday. They won't give either of them a Saturday game. So that's kind of what I'm getting to, I guess, right?
I agree with that.
Or if they're playing Sunday night, excuse me. So I think that's probably the Monday night game. This year, so since 21, Mike, since they've had the Monday night game, it's always been the NFC 4-5 game. I think this year will be the AFC 4-5 game.
So do I.
Only because I think they'll have Pittsburgh or Baltimore coming off a Sunday night, play a Monday night.
Yep. The 4 teams that play this Saturday, that's 2 playoff teams for week 1 only. One will have the number 1 seed and not play next week.
That's right.
And the other will be out. And those 2 teams may very well play each other. So that's 1 game. San Francisco at Carolina, say, or Seattle, if it's Seattle. Not necessarily. Could be Seattle gets the 6th seed, but, you know, maybe. And Yeah, I think I'd want to put the Saturday teams on Saturday next week too.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Bills' chances in this? As early and, you know, maybe a little bit ridiculous as it is to speculate.
I think if the Bills play at Jacksonville, that's probably your AFC South Invitational. Like, it just screams like it should be and will be.
First game of the week.
Because, yeah, because the Texans are the other AFC South team, but they'll be on the road. Obviously, they have a chance to win the division. I think whoever wins that division is hosting Saturday in the early window. That's what I think. And then if it's Bills, Patriots, feels more like a Sunday game to me. Certainly could be Saturday night. But I feel like that's a Sunday game. Yeah, I think that you're still looking at Jacksonville or Houston hosting that 4:30 game. Now, I actually had a good talk about this in the media room today. We're having the same discussion. And someone said to me, well, don't you think Josh Allen could change that equation? Do you really want him on Saturday at 4:30 now that everybody knows who he is? Yeah, it certainly could. But there's enough star power, I think, to carry the weekend anyway.
Yep, that's the question I would ask, too. It's really about the home teams. And Houston would be that Monday night opponent if they got the 5. So that would take care of them. I like the Patriots 1 o'clock Sunday no matter what. If that's the Chargers, it's still Sunday and they have to play an early game. I think I would predict that. I'd put Green Bay, Chicago, Sunday 4:30 if that's the matchup. If it's Philadelphia, then I'd do the same thing. I think Green Bay plays, for me, they would, the 4:30 slot on Sunday. And then the night game would be the Eagles or the Bears against the Rams, I guess, or Seattle, whoever it is. I think that all works. One of the first four games of the weekend will be on Prime.
I think you're right. I can't remember which one.
I don't think it's announced.
And how the schedule works for the. There's so many TV partners now. I forget which TV has which network, which streaming service, device, app, whatever has each game this year. You know what I mean?
I don't think it's announced which game it would be yet.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe Saturday night would make sense. We'll see.
Last year, the Chargers and Texans did play in that AFC South Invitational. So the Chargers did travel, but it was a 4:30 start. So for them, it's just a 1:30 game. So I don't think that, for what you're saying is right, it's not a 1 o'clock game. But this year, they could be in that 1 o'clock window on Sunday, which obviously matters. So, yes, these days they have more options. But, going back in years past, they've had West Coast teams play 1 o'clock games, in the playoffs in the East. So, it can happen. But they do have more options if they don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, I just think the fact that you have three, I think it'll be three West Coast teams playing on the road next weekend. You can't accommodate everybody. Justin Herbert sitting this week, you can't blame the Chargers for that, I guess. He's got a broken hand. We talked about this on Monday a little bit. It might set up for other teams following suit. Maybe New England feels less incentive to go all out. Maybe the Bills do. Maybe even ultimately Jacksonville and Houston do. I think their games need to start first and then see what it looks like. But what an anticlimax, at least on the AFC side, if not also the NFC. Is there some structural flaw here to take note of, or is it just sort of how the dominoes fell?
It's really interesting you say this. I think this has kind of been the case the last couple of years where it hasn't been the juice as you thought it might be when the league said we're going to have more division games. We're going to have only division games in week 18. One of the things that's been rattling in my head today has been the next time I speak with Mike North next year is maybe to ask him if they would revisit that and say maybe just conference games. Because it feels to me like there's not a lot of that going on now where the two teams matching up. There are some though. He would probably point to me. My guess would be, well, wait a minute. That's not true. Like they have this great Sunday night game that's going to determine the AFC North. They have this great Saturday night game that's going to determine the NFC South. Saturday afternoon game, Saturday night game has a big stakes involved. So he would probably point to those. I just think that it feels like, as you said, it's a bit more anticlimactic because you don't have those right matchups. And when you pigeonhole yourself into only having three possible opponents for every team, in week 18, I think that can happen.
I have always felt that way about it. I don't know why. I guess maybe there's some illusion of fairness to it, or even maybe more than an illusion. But I never thought that we really needed that. For the final week, week 18 it is now. Like I never felt like the league really needed that, restriction on the schedule. But I don't know. This is another one that people don't seem to complain about. It's just this year, we don't have any playoff spots up for grabs. And really, last week, it wasn't much of that either. You know, it's just kind of been interesting right. This year how well decided it was. All right, so to this week's game, Bills and Jets. Today was a walkthrough for the Bills. I always find that funny. They do the injury report after the walkthrough. Had they had an actual practice, this is what we think would have happened. Yep. I see Matt Prater was listed as a full participant in this walkthrough. Yeah. So I think it's probably safe to expect him back, right?
Yeah, I think that looks like the case, especially considering Sean McDermott's been kind of indicating that a little bit, and they have not signed another kicker after releasing Michael Badgley a couple of days ago. I mean, if there was really any question, they'd probably have another kicker. Now, it is week 18, and it doesn't really, quote-unquote, matter, right? The game, standings, they're in the, you know, so we can kind of parse that. But I guess if you really came down to Friday or Saturday and needed somebody, you could do that. But it feels like that's not the case. So I do think Matt Prater is trending towards him playing on Sunday.
Josh Allen listed as a DNP with the foot, one of six players. Not really any need to read into that, though, right? I mean, would you?
No, he's... In fact, the encouraging news today was both on Allen and Kincaid, where McDermott said both are doing better than last week. So Josh obviously played last week. He says he'll be fine. McDermott basically indicated he'll be fine. He's getting better with the foot. Dalton Kincaid, I thought it was really interesting when McDermott was asked about Kincaid today. He said he'd be limited. He was specifically asked, is he doing better? And he was kind of very quickly, emphatically to say yes. Like, it was like a... It wasn't like, yeah, he's like, yep, he's getting better, and he's in a better spot than he was last week at the end of the week. And I think that's really encouraging. Honestly, I don't know if they'll still play, I don't know if they'll play him, and I don't think they should, to be honest with you, Mike.
Yeah,
like,
right.
let him rest another week. If he's really there, then hey, you're gonna need this guy in the playoffs. Like, that's really good news that he's he's better now than he was last week, and he's trending up. So give him another week to be able to do that, and we'll see. As far as Josh is concerned, I really don't know what they're gonna do as far as playing him. I mean, it's almost certain he's going to start because he has the starting streak that's intact. And even today he was asked about it and said how that's important to him. So that's going to happen. The question is how quickly he gets out of the game. He does have the 40 touchdown streak that if they want to get him 40 touchdowns, I don't know how much he cares. They care. That's a lot of stuff. You know, McDermott talked a bit about this today. There's just so many things this week that they're trying to navigate through, and you have the injuries, you have where they are in the standings and the seeding, you have rest versus rust, what the offense didn't look like last week and getting them maybe back on track and feeling that, you know, they did a little bit of work there on what they need to do. And then you have the final game at Highmark Stadium, and that means a lot to the organization, the players. All of that is really interesting. So the way Sean said it was what his job is and what he thinks that it comes down to is, what is the best for us to improve this week as a football team? Like, what do we need to do to improve as a football team? Like, if you let all those other things creep in, then you're losing sight of that. And it's not an easy thing to do.
What would it be, in your opinion? What is an area of concern that they think they could meaningfully get better at against the Jets?
It's a good question. Health, I think, really. I think health is the number one thing to improve on. They have to improve on their health. They have to be better. They have to be healthier than they have been. If you wanted to get to something on the field, I would definitely say that the offense, I think, has to come out and maybe play faster, play better, start faster. Maybe that's something that they can come out and maybe they have Josh on the field and say, we're going down the field and scoring. And he's going to get his 40 and we're going to get him out of there because we want to start fast and show we can start the game faster than we have lately.
40 total touchdowns for Allen already. He has 25 passing and 14 rushing. Unbelievable, the rushing touchdowns every year. Care to try to guess the inactives, or is that unprofessional?
Not unprofessional. I ask my Twitter followers to do it sometimes.
You know?
I just think it's such a weird week. It's such a fun exercise sometimes. But the problem with this is you have, first of all, you're going to have 48 guys, which you're going to have. That means you're going to have seven inactives because you'll elevate two to give you 55. So there's 53 men. You elevate two, that gives you 55. You're going to have 48 active. As long as you have eight offensive linemen, you get 48 active. So you know eight offensive linemen. Right now they have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, only nine on the roster. So they'll have eight offensive linemen. That means one of them would most likely be inactive. But in this case, I wouldn't doubt if nine are active, to be honest with you, because they're going to want to get guys out of there. So that eats up one spot. I think the biggest issue is you need to elevate guys to be able to have extra players. Four guys are already out of elevations. Andre Jones Jr., Zion Logue, Baylen Spector, and Dane Jackson. They can't do that. And you have so many guys that are banged up that, to me, Mike, you have to start from there. You got to start from, okay, there's guys we don't want to play necessarily. There's guys we'd like to have sit. I don't know. Maybe that's your two older linebackers, Matt Milamo and Shaq Thompson. Maybe that's the case. But you're already without Bernard, and Baylen Spector has no elevations left. You need, if you want to do that, that's fine. But you have other guys around the roster like Kincaid or Daquan Jones or Jordan Poyer that they're dealing with injury. So it's more important for them to sit. That's why it's very tough for me to do.
Yeah. That list today, not including Allen, he'll play at least to start. But those other DNPs, I wonder if any of them does. Right?
Just I agree with you. I don't starters. Know.
Bernard,
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
is out.
Bosa, why risk Bosa? Reggie Gilliam was sick, by the way. He's on the list today, so I would think he would play. But Daquan Jones is in this boat. Jordan Poyer's in this boat. Give these guys an extra week to be ready, because I just think prioritizing health is the most important. Do you ever listen to Fitz and Andrew Whitworth?
I don't. Only on the Prime broadcasts together.
Okay, well, they have a podcast, and I don't really listen to it a lot. I don't see it a lot. But sometimes, you know, something will come up in my feed, and I'll see it. I happened to see something last night because it was the headline was something like why Andrew Whitworth says or Fitz says they say that the loss of the Eagles is a blessing in disguise for the Bills. And I'm like, okay, and I know people have said that because they can rest people. But really what happened was I really thought it was a fascinating some anecdotes from Andrew Whitworth about him recalling when he was on the Bengals and when he was on the Rams and the ways that they've played it where they either rested players or they played. And it's kind of gone both ways. And his biggest takeaway was, and he gave an example, like 1 year they played the Jets in week 18. Okay. The Bengals did. And they basically sat everybody, but they told him, well, you're going to go out there. Then you're going to, they didn't sit everybody. They played, but they pulled them out, but they kind of like, yeah, you're going to go out there. We're going to take you out at some point. And they kind of didn't know when they were coming out, a little wishy-washy. They did it. They lost the game. He said the next week, though, we just like the Jets came, the Jets, they replayed them again the next week in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez. And the Jets beat them. And he said they just weren't ready to play. And he attributed the way they handled week 18 to that. And then he talked about in the Rams having two different scenarios, too. And they lost 1 year to the Falcons, which I forgot about. I guess I think it was a COVID year where he felt that they were rolling. They were rolling on offense and they sat. And then they just didn't have their rhythm that first week. Right. But his overall takeaway wasn't you got to play necessarily. It's at least have a clear direction and communicate it to the players of what you're doing and why you're doing it. Don't be wishy-washy and don't say, yeah, you know what? We're going to play some of you guys. At some point, we're going to take you out. It's we're resting you because we need you ready for next week. Let's go. Or we're going to play you. We got to go out there to fix this and this, and then we're good.
That Atlanta game was in 2017. I remember Al
Thank
Michaels.
You,
having that game at the Coliseum, and I was just in love. Like, his voice in the Coliseum, Falcons, Rams. And, yes, Atlanta did win that game. Here's one scenario I haven't given much thought to. Before I get to that, Bosa and Daquan Jones each accrue $250,000 if they get one sack in this game against Brady Cook. They might want to play. Would you let them if they did?
I think getting a sack is too tough to try. I mean, if they wanted to play a series or two, I would say a series or two, but you got to get out of there. Banking on a sack to get that, how long do you wait on that? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's very tough. The Myles Garrett comment last week was really interesting, right, about the Steelers? Did you hear that?
That they cared more about denying him than winning?
Yeah. That's crazy, like, that he said that. And I know there's a bit of a rivalry there between him and, well, of course, the teams, but him and T.J. Watt, and all that. But yeah, he said they cared more about that. And I think when it comes to sacks, like, that's just so arbitrary sometimes when you can get those opportunities. You know, if for Josh for the 40 touchdowns, the Bills have they have more control over trying to do that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
The Bills can try to get Josh a touchdown by having him throw to the end zone. You put Bosa or Daquan Jones out there to get a sack, they have no control over what the play calls the Jets have.
No, I mean, it's different. You would also say this. It's different than the Myles Garrett one. I mean, I thought he was probably mostly talking about Rodgers. And I watched almost that entire game, yeah. And I saw the same thing. Like, anytime Myles Garrett would get one step, Rodgers is so well experienced, you know, he knows. He sees it and dumps it. And he had no time for Myles Garrett getting anywhere near him. He almost did once, and Rodgers would rather dump the play than risk a sack to Myles Garrett. I think that is probably fair. Well, we'll see. If there are 10 guys you want to sit and two of them want to play because they have $250,000 for one sack, maybe we get that.
I think Dawson Knox has like $100,000 for
three
six catches.
Yep.
And then $100,000 for 7 yards, maybe. So that's something you might want to do, you know?
And also a touchdown. He has three different ways of earning $100,000 each. Shakir has a couple. Maybe I'll get back to this. If Bosa had three sacks, that's $750. One more thing. Again, this scenario I haven't really given much thought to. This is not so far out of the realm, Sal. The 1 o'clock game Sunday, Jacksonville and Houston both play at 1. Jacksonville plays Tennessee. They get out 21-0. Houston sits.
Yep.
It's guys. And
I've thought about this a lot this week.
If they do that, the Bills have a path to the 5.
Yep.
A Houston 100%. Loss and a Jacksonville. Or the other way around. But the other way around, Jacksonville's not taking guys out because of what Houston's doing. The division is in their control. But other way around, I think Houston could end up pushing that button. And if they lose and Denver has to win and the Bills have to win, then you're the 5.
Yes. I brought this same scenario conversation today in the media room. We were talking.
Look at me. I'm basically just whipping out the discussion points from the media room today.
It's amazing.
Amazing. I wasn't even there.
No, you weren't. And you would have fit right in today. You would have loved it.
Oh,
I mean, we were down there and it was a walkthrough, so we don't get to go out and watch any of the practice. So we had extra time in there today. You know what I mean? So McDermott talked and we're sitting around and a lot of us were having lunch and we're talking and, you know, people are recounting their fantasy championships. You know what I mean?
I would have like fit that. Right in on that one.
There you go. Right. Yes. You would have fit right in. And then that came up and I brought that scenario up. Exactly what you said. I said, listen, it's entirely possible. Jacksonville has things in hand. Houston is scoreboard watching and goes, you know what? That's it. Let's get CJ out. Let's get Nico out. Let's get these guys out. And then, you know, suddenly Houston loses and the Chargers, they're resting everybody. They lose the Denver who's trying to win. Here come the Bills and they get the 5 seed and they're suddenly going to Pittsburgh or Baltimore.
Could happen. Well, I was not there. I'm never there for these media room discussions. And here are my two excuses today. One is I had Matthew Collar's podcast that I do every week. And two is, I have a puzzle I'm obsessed with.
Oh, boy.
Does that happen to you?
What is that? It does happen sometimes. What are you obsessed with?
I'm not like the... I love crosswords and sort of word puzzles, but I'm not the big jigsaw puzzle guy. My wife got the family this puzzle, though. I'll have to show you. I tweeted a picture of it last weekend. It's insane. Okay. It's a picture of dogs. But the pieces are all like shaped like dogs or just random, like people. So it's not your classic crossword puzzle shaped pieces. And it's diabolical. Like it's so hard trying to find. Some of these are like these big, narrow, curvy pieces. And then there's these other ones. One looks like a bicycle. And I don't know. I'll send you a picture, but. I
feels
love
like
it.
It's right up my. You and I are very much cut from the same cloth with things like this.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I'll send it to you so you can see what it looks like. But the harder it is, the more interested I am. Whether that's crosswords or this or games, anything like it's got to be challenging. And if it is, I'll spend like all my time on it.
Figuring out the NFL Week 1 wild card schedule.
Yes, that's right. As soon as we get through this week and we know next year's matchups and. We have to wait on the Super Bowl, but I'll be on to primetime week 1, 2026. So can't wait for that. Are the Bills guaranteed new stadium, whether they win the Super Bowl or not, to play at home at night? First game at night, even if it's week 2.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes. I think they're, yes. The NFL loves to highlight new stadiums, yes.
I think so, too. Thank you, Sal. Happy New Year.
All right, you too.
Extra, the EP with Sal Capaccio today. Extended play. His appearance is brought to you by, did I have to define extended play? Maybe not. His appearance is brought to you by Outlet Liquor, New York's only outlet liquor. Your place to buy a case, what's your outlet? Time out, I'll look for your calls next, whether it's the end of the stadium or the game itself or next week. 803-0550 for your calls. How long do you go on James Cook if he needs a certain, you know, decent number of yards to win the rushing title come 4:25 Sunday? I like that one. New Year's Day tomorrow, I won't be here. Bulldog and me back together on Friday. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Yeah, I'm certainly not going to overcompensate either way. I'm not going to go out of my way to not let him get the record, and I'm not going to go out of my way to let him get the record either. I'm going to go and play football. There's going to be situations that a sack is the best of the bad outcomes of that play, and maybe I take one. And there's going to be other situations that I'm about to get sacked, and I need to throw it away in that situation. Such a situational game that I don't think you can go in thinking one way or the other.
Joe Burrow. I've heard him talk this way about sacks before, and it's unusual to hear a quarterback talk about a sack ever, like not being, not literally versus say an interception, but the kind of outcome of a play where you just would never give it any sort of upside. But Burrow has talked like that before. He takes a lot of sacks. I think I would probably bet that Garrett gets one against the Bengals. And, you know, I would have to admit, some of that is what Burrow just said. There are times when it's the best outcome of a play, as opposed to what? You know, throwing the ball out of bounds? I would say, like this has been said already, but Aaron Rodgers, as Sal and I talked about for the Steelers against the Browns, and maybe you saw the same thing, anytime Garrett got a step, and Rodgers probably thought he was getting a step when he wasn't, just from behind him, but he got rid of the ball so fast in that game. And they scored 6 points. I bet that is maybe what Joe Burrow would say to that. Pittsburgh scored 6 points against the Browns. It looked like it's so easy, but it's so easy to dislike Rodgers. Like, not only does he seem to shun coaching and, you know, he's been this certain way for a few years, if not for a long time, but he's always just sort of rolling his eyes and pointing fingers and throwing up his hands. Like, he doesn't even bother to try to mask his frustration with teammates and, you know, the people he works with, including the coaching staff. It's insufferable. If you're going to do that, you need to be like, great. I think that's the only way that's okay. And even then, it's not ideal. But he's not great. And it's got to be just such an annoyance, to say the least, for a lot of those people he's around. I mean, it looked like he was calling off play calls and just making plans with Marquez Valdez-Scantling, former Packer, former Bill, to beat guys one-on-one, and he's not going to do that. And that almost never happened in this game. Enough about Aaron Rodgers. Let's go to Al next. Hi, Al.
Hey, I just wanted your take on this. This season kind of, or going into the playoffs, kind of feels like 2 years ago Kansas City when they had to go on the road.
Okay, yeah. Sure.
I'm just wondering what you thought, if that has any similarities.
Sure, yes. I think the difference in terms of sort of the outside perspective is that the Bills haven't won it yet, and the Chiefs had maybe won it twice already. So it was that year for me, it was like, bet against Kansas City at your own peril. And I'm not sure the Bills rate quite on, I think they don't rate quite on the same level, but it's still a valid comparison. Like, they might be favored in every game, even despite the fact that they're on the road, I think.
Right. Yeah. All right, well, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, the Chiefs had to, they got to play the first game at home, Kansas City. They beat Miami that year in super cold weather. And then they came here. What were they, the three? Came here to play the Bills, who were the two, and then they went to Baltimore to play the one, and they won both of those games, and then beat San Francisco again, right? Yeah, I think that's what happened. Thanks, Al. Here's Chris next. Hi, Chris.
How you doing, Mike?
Good, thank you.
Hope you had a good holiday and your vacation from Bulldog.
You know, I miss him.
The reason I'm calling in, I've been listening, a long-time listener, long-time season ticket holder. I'll make it real quick because I know you got Paul Hamilton coming on.
No, but I don't. How'd you know? Oh, why would you?
At least Sabres talk.
No, I don't have anything of the sort planned today.
Memorable times in the stadium, real quick, was Cornelius Bennett's first game against John Elway. Bought tickets like 2 days before the game. Mm-hmm. And most people don't realize he wore number 55 when he started.
A couple years.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Loudest the stadium was, I still think, was the Patriots 0-degree game where everybody stood the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
No pun, you know, recently that was. But mm-hmm. biggest reason I called was the Dick Geron years. My son was 12 years old. My wife entered a Topps Friendly Market thing, and he won the kickoff kid. Tickets for four against the Jets, Bills. Went to the game. Got a jersey from the Bills. Terrible uniform, by the way. And brought us right down to the field. It was Molloy, Lossman. It was Bledsoe and everything. And the Bills lost the toss, so he couldn't do the kickoff kid, run out there and get the tee. Brought us back up. Second half, went back down to the tunnel. Saw the worst general manager they ever had in Donahoe standing there. Went out on the field for the second half, and he was supposed to get the tee. And Geron, they didn't kick off for some reason because they changed the wind. They did something goofy. Oh. He never was able to run out on the field and get the tee. We still
really?
Joke about it at every game. I called Howard Simon the next day, wrote the Bills. It was unbelievable. They did not let him go out and get the tee. True story.
So that would only be the first kickoff of the half.
Yes.
And
yes.
In this game, it turned out that they took the ball. They were able to receive twice.
Yes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's happened since.
No. Geron made it happen. True
well,
story.
It would have been probably the other, maybe not.
Yeah.
One of the coaches has to decide that they want to kick off instead of receiving.
Correct, and that's what happened.
And you think it was the Bills that made that decision?
I'm not sure, but at least the judge should have just let the kid run out and get the tee and take it around to him.
Or couldn't you do it for some other kickoff in the game? I guess it's not sponsored in the same way.
So with the three season tickets we have right now, we got tickets going to the new stadium. Every time we go to a game, the kickoff kid goes out there and slides on the ground. You know, it was just...
Wow.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress, Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Experience you never forget, you know,
when I
explained to a 12-year-old, you know,
I guess maybe this is like 10 years ago now, but when Bulldog and I were going to games regularly at the stadium and doing post game from the booth, which we stopped doing during COVID, there was a Packers game that you might remember when Marone was the coach, and I would go on the field with Joe Biscaglia. We would take a lap on the field. We would compare socks. Joe was into his socks. And I came to really love being on the field, just watching Aaron Rodgers, in that case, warm up. I got a kick out of that, like watching a pitcher warm up or something, like seeing how the quarterback goes about his routine. And the Bills put a stop to it. Like eventually I didn't make the cut for being able to go on the field. But when I could, I really enjoyed doing that. And never, I don't think I ever did as a fan, but.
We were right down by the bench, and it's funny, we still got pictures, and I looked through them here recently, and Ross Tucker's on the team, and
yeah.
I was going to send it to him. It was fun, but it's a wild story that I wanted to call in. Yeah. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Everything you guys do.
Thank you, Chris. Happy New Year. I want to look that up now. I have no doubt he's telling it right. That Bennett game he mentioned. 1987 strike year, and the final score, I have always remembered this one. I didn't go to this game, but I've always remembered it. Not on TV. 21-14 is the final, but the Bills got to 21 with two safeties. And there were no two-point conversions in those years either. So 7-0, 9-0 on a blocked punt, 16-0, 18-0 on another blocked punt. Rob Riddick, Steve Tasker. Couldn't they have recovered one of these punts? So 18-0. Hi, Steve. Scott Norwood field goal, 21-0 in the third quarter. Then Denver, two touchdowns, 21-14. Bennett's first game. Famous because he was awesome in that game. Made a huge impression right away. All right, time for a break. This is Mike Shope. Happy New Year. Thanks for listening to WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You know Graybar for electrical parts. But there's one more thing you may not be thinking of us for that can help maximize your next project's total value. Our pre-project planning services are designed to help you win the bid, save on labor costs, and keep your installers productive across your entire build. The sooner you call us, the better. Because when we're there from the beginning, we can anticipate your needs and help you solve problems before they become problems. Yep, Graybar does that.